Consumer Watch with Wendy Nola.
Hello, Wendy lady.
Hello, Darren.
So Consumer Watch now is live. Your questions to Wendy, and we're going to get straight into it. First on the line, we have Julio Iglesias, not her real name, who would like to ask you a question. Wendy.
All ears.
Go ahead for Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Guys, I'm so excited. How are you?
Very, very well. How can I help?
Okay, so my two kids go to private school, and we're not the highest income earners. We're in that middle bracket where a large portion of our salaries go towards furnishing the school fees.
Mm.
So obviously during COVID-19, there's been no, we've not been receiving the service of sport and art and cultural activities, and the schools have not come back to say, we're allowing a certain percentage or a discount or something over these months to help the parents out, to allow for the fact that we're not giving a full service.
Yeah.
So a few of the people that have complained have gotten responses of, you need to furnish your bank statements to say that you are affected and your salary is reduced, which is beside the point, really, because you are paying for a service that is not being received.
Yeah, it's a very good question. Wendy, how does one go about, I know it works on a school-to-school basis, but as a rule, what could one do? I mean, you're paying exorbitant school fees and not getting any of the services you usually do.
Okay, so this is one that's come up quite a lot from people all over the country with children in private schools, from private creches all the way up. So, yes, it would be... It's a two-sided thing, and we must remember that this is an unprecedented situation. So it's not of the schools making either. They still want to pay their teachers, and they've got to keep, you know, they've got overheads which don't change. So, you know, you don't want to emerge from this situation and find the school in a completely weakened situation and not be able to provide the service that you're used to your children, for your children, right? At the same time, for a school to take full school fees or demand full school fees from its parent body, regardless of the fact that many of those parents will have had severe income losses, either completely or to some extent, is also not okay. So there has to be give and take. And I think what I'm getting from schools, what I'm hearing from parents rather about schools, is that they are doing that. They are saying, come and talk to us.
Okay.
And they're wanting, I think, asking to see your bank statements or some proof that your income has diminished is fair under the circumstances. Given that the bulk of their spend on the goes to their teachers, that needs to, you know, that has been maintained mostly. So it's no easy answer to this, but most of the schools will have had to provide some support, and it would have come at a cost. They would have had to, as with universities, they would have had to get the teachers up to speed with computers, and whether not all of them would have had their own stuff at home. There would have been a considerable capital spend to continue to provide services to the kids, you know, remotely. So I would say, if you're feeling, if your income has been affected and you're, you know, really not, it's not sitting well with you to be paying full school fees at this time, I would certainly have a chat with the school about that and come to an agreement. I think they're not going to, you know, drop everything, drop the fees or whatever across the board, you know, as a strategy without consulting with the parents, because every parent will be in a different situation.
And I think that parents are also left in the lurcher, because we're not sure if kids are going to go back to school this week, next month, next year, and they're left in this limbo. Also, the way I see school fees is, it's not, school fees are not paid monthly. You have, it's like 60, 70, 80,000 rand a month, and you're paying in installments. So, I mean, a year. So your school fees are for the year, which you pay in installments. But you're right, that is a school.
A lot of them, so sorry to button, Darren. What the schools were saying in the beginning is, we're going to make up the days this year. So people were complaining about paying for aftercare. And I had some sympathy there. And they were saying, but the kids are going to come back. We're going to fill in these days. They're going to have shorter holidays. And they are going to have aftercare. The one complaint I'm working on now, which I think is without merit, is they're charging this woman for boarding school fees for her weekly boarder son. And that, I think, would be difficult for the school to argue.
Okay. Well, there you go, Ms. Iglesias. I hope you. I hope that Wendy answered your question there for you. We have another one.
Yeah, Wendy, this is a question. Morning, by the way. This is a question that came in on WhatsApp. It's quite bizarre, but I understand why it's being asked because, I mean, maybe agencies are not working so well from home. Why are the Clover milk bottles now suddenly blue?
Is that a...
You won't believe.
Jeez.
Somebody asked that in the last couple of days on Twitter. And the comments just went crazy. Everyone's like completely fascinated with this, what's going on. It's nothing other than, in their own words in one of their marketing things, we did it to differentiate ourselves, to stand out, to disrupt the fresh milk category and to make fresh milk relevant again. Mm. It's nothing more complicated than that, believe it or not. And people are like, "What? Why? My children thought the milk was going to be blue." I don't like it. I want my milk in a white bottle.
Yeah.
I mean, every consumer will have a different response, but it's been quite interesting. I suppose in this time, Kerry, we're grappling with so many major life-changing, anxiety-inducing issues. To have something like a blue milk bottle to comment on
stress.
Is a bit of a welcome relief, maybe. You know, it's just something you know, like in the old world.
That's true.
but the answer is they've got a new 1.5-litre bottle as well as that the 2-litre one we're familiar with. They've both gone from white to blue. They're filtering into the trade. There's nothing more complicated than that. The one issue that I do want to check.
Hang on, Wendy, you're going to have to fill in that issue when we come back after Newswatch headlines.
Okay.
If you have any questions for Wendy, you can call us directly 087-0869495 or WhatsApp 061-792-9495. Coming up, question about getting back the deposit paid to a caterer. Taking your calls right now. If you have any consumer questions you want Wendy to answer, phone right now 087-0869495. You can WhatsApp your voice note or a text question as well, 061-792-9495. Welcome back, Wendy.
Thanks, Derek.
So we had the school one pretty much asked and answered. This you'll have to deal with on a school-to-school, an individual basis, talking to the schools about this. And when you think you're not getting what you paid for, the school is also putting money out for what they didn't expect when offering online services, etc., plus protection at schools. So, you would have to have that conversation with your schools. But we did go to that, the blue milk carton. Why did that happen, and was it a good idea?
Oh, yeah, so they wanted to stand out, refresh, wanted to throw it in. And as soon as you start adding color, form of plastic
beverage,
water bottle or milk bottles are made out of a form of plastic called HDPE.
Yeah.
Once you start adding color, they become low value for recycling because the color messes with the recycling process. So it is a pale blue, but it's still a color. It's going to have less value than white. So that was a little silly. We should be moving, you know, every packager, every brand should be thinking about the recyclability, the green issues around their packaging.
Yeah.
It's 2020, for goodness sake. So
I think it's a bit of a mistake.
They're getting a bit of flack for that all around. It doesn't look like it was a great move on their part. I think the story is going to be with us for a little bit.
Okay.
And then, Wendy, we've got a caller for you. Roz is on the line. Roz says she's struggling to get her deposit back. Roz, good morning. Your question for Wendy.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hello, Roz.
Wendy. In April, I was supposed to celebrate my 80th birthday. I had hired a caterer, and I'd given her, she insisted, a 50% deposit, which I did on the 3rd of February. And on the 7th of March, I went to, you know, just finalize colors or something like that. And then she told me she was leaving on the Sunday for the U.S. and would only be coming back on the 2nd of April. So while she, just by chance, I mentioned, oh, well, I brought my money, you know, the right time. So she said, no, that goes into a separate account. Anyway, ma'am, while she was away, Most of my family are overseas, and there were 17 of them, grandchildren, in-laws, blah, 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 coming down. And then they had to cancel. So I thought a party wouldn't be a party without my children. And I texted her to say that it was on the 14th of March that I sent her a text saying I'm cancelling the party. Anyway, I have tried numerous ways to contact her. I only have a telephone number. And I just get no reply. So I just don't know what is the next thing I could possibly do.
Okay. Well, happy birthday for April. When was your big day?
My birthday was actually the 30th. But because most of my children were teachers, blah, 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 and could get time off, I was having it on Easter Sunday.
Okay. So there was no way. You cancelled on the 14th of March when we all thought that these things could still happen. So the fact that you cancelled has now become immaterial because you couldn't have had the party anyway. Gatherings were not permitted. That was level 5. Definitely not allowed. So the short answer is that you are entitled to that deposit back. The event couldn't go ahead, and she has no legal right to retain it. She couldn't. It's not like she could have had somebody else fill that booking for you. This was all beyond everyone's control. So if you'd like to email me, the details will come in a little bit. I will be happy to reach out to her and say this isn't, you are not legally justified to hold on to this money. Okay.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for that, Wendy. Wendy Nola, before we get into traffic, just a quick question. We've received tons of requests for you to answer this. I ordered booze from an online retailer, which was due to be delivered today. Do I have to accept a credit or can I insist on a refund?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So things became complicated. Online orders, you can imagine. Many of them would have been in the delivery trucks awaiting delivery on Monday, and then Sunday came not just the suspension, but the unprecedented immediate suspension. There came the regulations. So the companies cannot legally distribute or sell, so they couldn't get those orders out at all. A lot of them will ask you to just wait or give you the choice or say we'll give you a credit just to say you don't, with booze or anything else, with an online order, if they can't deliver for whatever reason, you don't have to accept a credit. Mm. You can insist on a refund. They want to obviously credit you, but if they say we'll credit you, then you have the legal right to say, actually, could you please refund me?
Yeah. And you can name drop as well. You can say, Wendy Nola told me. Questions already asked and answered. Can I get, if I booked like a whole function and I paid a deposit, can I get that money back? What's happening with school fees? I pay a hell of a lot towards school fees. I'm not getting any of that school stuff. Asked and answered. What's happening with blue cartons of milk? Question asked and answered. And we have a few more for you, Wendy.
We do, Wendy. On the line now, we've got Gaynor. Gaynor has a question about clothing returns. Gaynor, welcome to the show. What's your question for Wendy?
Good morning, everybody. Hello, Wendy.
Hi, Gaynor.
My question is regarding clothing stores. You can't try on items. So now, the question is, you must buy them, and then if they don't fit you, you want to take them back. But what's the regulation regarding that? Because does each store have its own rules in this regard?
Yes, most of them do. I did speak to the Consumer Goods and Services Ombud about this. And, in these extraordinary times, the stores are having to deal with all sorts of sanitary hygiene issues. So many of them, not all of them, many of them have closed their fitting rooms. At first, there were many who weren't taking returns for the same reason and saying, after lockdown or after whatever. And I wrote about that quite a lot. And then they did a very sharp about turn. So in most cases, I haven't had a complaint for ages of a store not taking, accepting returns, because you can imagine you don't have the right to return anything that is not defective, by the way. but you should have be given the chance to try it on. So they can't have it both ways legally, where they don't let you to try it on to see that it fits, and then they say you can't bring it back. So all of them, as far as I know, are accepting goods back, and then sanitizing them and the whole thing. But it becomes tricky if you want to buy shoes, for example. I've heard bizarre stories of people running to their cars to try them on and then bringing them back, and you know, it's all a little bit weird, but that's the story. If you can't try on, we will let you bring it back, but we'll sanitize, and that's how it's going. Does that answer your question, Gaynor?
Thank you, Gaynor, for your question. That's another one asked and answered. By the way, all of these answer questions from Wendy and last week's consumer questions, very pertinent questions and answers, are on our podcast on our website, ecr.co.za. Click on Darren, Kerry and Sky, or wherever you consume your favorite podcast, just search Darren, Kerry and Sky.
And Wendy, before you go, we have Ishmael on the line who bought a faulty car 6 years ago.
6 years ago, Ishmael.
Good morning, Ishmael.
Oh, my goodness.
Whoa. Good morning.
Yeah, whoa.
Yes, Wendy, I bought a car from a dealership, a credible dealership in Newcastle in 2011. Mm-hmm. The car had a number of faults, of which I sent it back to the dealership more than three times. And each time I would send it back, they would tell me either they have fixed and they would refuse to produce any receipts. But the major problem with it was the gearbox, which didn't show any problems every now and then. In other words, it didn't show that sign continuously. But each time it reflected that, I took it back to the owner, and the owner ended up saying to me, he doesn't know anything about the car that much. In other words, he didn't have the history of the vehicle. He, as the vehicle came from a client. And later on, when I moved it to another dealership in Richards Bay, they declared that that information was not true, because the system shows that the vehicle was there back from 2004.
Wow, okay. Wait, did the problems happen in the first 6 months? Were you able to take the car back in the first 6 months of you owning it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so at that point, it should have been fixed, because that's the Consumer Protection Act's warranty period. So that's when you have all the power as a consumer. So the company must either fix, if they can't fix two or three times, then they must make a plan, take the car back from you, replace the car, refund you, whatever. But if that didn't happen in that at that time, now all these years later, to try and get justice is almost impossible, Ishmael, as you probably have discovered. It's very difficult for me to give you advice when the story is
6 years later,
you know, is so old. Do you have possession of the car?
Because the car is with them as we speak. They took it in 2014 before I got retrenched.
Oh my gosh, this sounds a bit like, this is way beyond the normal experience. This is now on to, this sounds to me like, you know, they've basically fraudulently acquired the car. You've paid for it, you have no use of it, and they have ownership of it. I think I'm going to have to deal with this off air, Ishmael. We'll try. If you could send me an email, I'll do my best to help, okay?
All right, so Ishmael, you now have the personal services of Wendy Nola. If you want to get a hold of her, you can go to her Facebook page. It's Wendy Nola Consumer, and you'll see on the page there, there's the email option. You just, in the subject line, just write there, Ishmael with six-year-old car issue. And then Wendy will help you directly, Ishmael. And any other consumer issues, you just get a hold of Wendy directly, Wendy Nola Consumer on Facebook, or when we do this again next week. We did this last week, a whole bunch of the most common asked questions have been asked and answered, and also your legal questions and also your science questions. All of those podcasts are up on our website, ecr.co.za. Click on Darren, Kerry and Sky. Thank you, Wendy.